Lord, help us to be a church that reflects your glory and shows love to all. Amen. Please do be seated. In our readings this morning from Mark's Gospel, the teacher of the law is portrayed as an honest questioner who is in search of truth. Jesus was asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? This was a question that would have been commonly discussed by teachers and rabbis, attempting to summarize the hundreds of demands laid down by the Jewish laws. They were searching for a basic principle from which the whole law could be derived. Jesus replied, drawing upon the text that we find in the books of Deuteronomy and Numbers. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. But although asked for one commandment, Jesus gave two. A second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, Jesus draws upon the Hebrew scriptures from Leviticus, where the assembly of Israel were ordered to love their neighbours as themselves. These two commandments are inextricably linked. But what does it mean when we are commanded to love in this way? This isn't simply an emotion with regards to God or the people around us. It's not about feelings. It's about how we live our lives every day. Jesus went on to say that obeying these two commandments was more important than all that preceded them. In other words, our attitudes and behavior, both in relation to God and to those around us, are more significant than religious observance. Jesus is standing in a long prophetic tradition in Judaism. Time and time again, in the Hebrew scriptures, prophets issued a call to repentance, pointing out that being religious, offering devotion and worship, was worth nothing to God if it didn't translate into right actions towards others. This is a powerful call to a righteous way of life. We're called to live humbly before God and to act mercifully, to work for justice and to defend and protect the vulnerable. These prophets show us that what true love for God, twinned with genuine love and concern for our neighbours, actually looks like. This is how we are called to live our lives today. We find this same account of Jesus declaring the most important commandments in Luke's Gospel. And here, Jesus follows it with the parable of the Good Samaritan. In this story, we focus on a victim of violence. The first two passers-by are representatives of the religious community, a priest and a Levite, and they offer no assistance. The third is a Samaritan who does come to the victim's aid. In his tract, Falling Among Thieves, Andrew Greystone writes, in the first assault by the thieves, the man is robbed of his property, his clothing, his dignity. In the second assault by the priest and the Levite, he is robbed of his identity, his self-worth, and his hope for recovery. This is contrasted with the grace evidenced in the relationship between the victim and the Samaritan. He continues, the priest and Levite do not simply ignore the needs of the victim. The story makes a point of the fact that they see the victim, but make a choice to define themselves against it. They do not walk past, they cross the road. the way in which the church has historically not responded appropriately to the survivors of church-related abuse is not only puzzling, but serves to re-abuse the victims. We are guilty of crossing the road by not putting into place the safeguarding that was needed to change the very culture of the church. We, the church, are called to follow the example and teachings of Christ. We need to listen, to see, and to offer the care that all those affected need. We need to be the ones who give support and redress. We need to act as a good neighbour and follow the example of the Samaritan. Safeguarding here at St. Bartholomew's must be front and central of all that we do. So how do we do this? We begin by responding well to victims and survivors of abuse. We also need to be vigilant to what is going on around us. We need to work hard to ensure that the most vulnerable in our churches are protected and safeguarded. We need to be aware of the projects and make sure our safeguarding is in place in all the projects that we do. We need to engage fully in the training that will help us establish a healthy culture in our church and learn how to make it a safe place for all. The good news is that this is not a distraction from our mission or peripheral to our gospel. It is at the very core of who we are called to be as followers of Christ. Safeguarding is central to our worship and our ministry. Today is the festival of Christ the King. As the world descends into darkness of many kinds, and we recognise that we have failed victims of abuse, let the vision of Christ the King keep us travelling in the right direction. As we seek to change the culture within the church to be a safer, humbler and bolder church. As we engage wholeheartedly in safeguarding, we are indeed loving our neighbours as ourselves. And this is intertwined with us loving and truly worshipping God. As we do this then, we will not be far from the kingdom of heaven and the very righteousness of Christ the King. Amen.